Listen and stream the all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5 for the only talk that matter.
I want to say good morning to, on the phone lines, we have Mr. Wendell Manwaring. And let me tell you a little bit about this gentleman. He's a singer, songwriter, producer, teacher, and song designer and director. And guess what? He has been in the business and performing with the performing arts for over 30 years. What is interesting about Mr. Manwaring, is that he had the opportunity to work with and learn from the very best in Trinidad and Tobago and what the Caribbean had to offer. Having cut his teeth, so to speak, as a member of the now-defunct Trinidad 10th Theatre under the direction of Helen Camps, Mr. Manwaring has since gone on to work closely with such luminaries as Peter Minshall and the Callaloo Company, Derek Walcott and the Trinidad Theatre Workshop, and Noble Douglas, just to name a few. As a founding member of the performer and producer with the cutting-edge Rapso crew, y'all know what is Rapso, right? You'll remember Three Canal. Mr. Manwaring continues to challenge his growth and development as a contemporary artist in the world today. As a tutor and director of Lollipop Theatre, every year for the past 25 years, Manwaring has had the challenge of making a show from scratch. As an artistic director of Three Canal, he has been similarly tasked for many years with doing the same. Now, that is very interesting. But that is not the only guest we have. I have a special lady sitting in front of me. And she's known as the Dragon Lady. Powerful. Miss Lynette Steele, also known as Lady Gypsy Boy.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to you, and good morning, Trinidad and Tobago and the outer world.
Welcome to the Morning Rumble. Now, this lady, if it's your dainty and calm, she is sitting here. You've seen her performance. And where she came from, that quiet village out there in Rio Claro, it fits her aura, I must say. Starting her singing career out in Parang at the age of 6 years old with the Rio Claro Parang group, led by Cecil. How was Cecil?
Fuente. Oh, he's dead and gone.
I know.
Many moons.
many moons ago. Yeah. She moved on to singing popular bands with the of that era, including Watty Watkins and Trade Winds, performing throughout the country. Now, at 16 years, she sang her first calypso. That's a long time ago.
Yeah, 46 years ago.
Wow.
Not a shame. I love and proud of my age.
You have a lot of experience, boy. Of course, for the past 30 years, she has composed and performed all her songs, as well as composed songs for fellow Calypsonian. She is the mother of 6 children, including soca diva Fayan Lion Alvarez. How do you feel about Faye these days, girl?
Well, she's doing fine. Everybody, you know, is in the music business. I have another brother, not Gypsy, but a small one, another cousin. So, you know, the family is expanding in the music world, and it's very nice to see them come out.
You know, I always look up to musicians because for the life of me, I can't play an instrument. I try. I don't feel I had a brain connecting.
Well, God gave everybody a talent, you know.
Yes.
Maybe that is not yours.
Apparently not, but they're fighting it still. I still want to learn to play a piano, a keyboard, or something. Mr. Wendell, good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning.
Welcome
morning,
to
Lady
the
Gypsy.
Hi, good day. How are you?
First thing I want to say, I respect the Dragon.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
I'm a fan from long time.
Nice. Me too, long time boy.
And I really like your fire.
Thank you. I am demure this morning. I'm not shooting any fires.
Listen,
no fire.
It's early and I cool this morning.
But don't mess with the Dragon Lady.
I'm not going to tell you that. She only mama guy, you know, come in the studio here. She nice little dainty outfit. Today, fantastic Friday. You know, I was looking for red, you know.
Yeah.
I was looking after blaze the trailer.
That went Valentine's Day.
All right, so Mr. Manwaring, I know we don't have you for much time this morning, so we want to kick things off with you this morning. I mean, what has your experience been in the Rapso world been like throughout the years?
Well, I mean, it has been an incredible experience because we started off with a song called Blue 26 years ago. But we didn't imagine we'd be around for 2 weeks, much less 26 years.
So wow.
It really did have the power to change our life, and it shows the power of the music. And the power of the word, the rhythm of the word.
Now,
I mean, since then we've gone on to really, you know, grow and understand a little bit more about what we're doing. But it has been a life-changing experience.
Now, you mentioned something there, which is like a branch off to the question that I asked you. You said you didn't think it was going to last 2 weeks. Now, being a performer for all these years, I want to know, what was the thought process? I mean, how did you all feel when you all got that sort of reception from Trinidad and Tobago with P and D Tongue Blue? When the song blew,
it was overwhelming. It was not anything we expected at all, because we didn't start off with the intention of writing a song to begin with, much less a hit song. We used to bring a juve band, and one of the guys who used to play in our juve band, he started up a record label, and for some reason he decided we should write a song. We all used to be around and singing in Walcott Theatre Workshop and all that kind of thing.
Wow.
So we took up the challenge, and the rest is history. We wrote a song called Blue. So we had no idea what was going to come next. We went straight back to work in Minchell Mass Camp. We didn't have no bookings and no fret and what. Then people started to call and realize, oh, this thing's serious.
Wow.
So after that, we just packed our bags and was on the road for a while.
With Blue?
Just with that one song.
Wow.
And then after that, of course, we say, all right, well, if we're going to take this thing serious, we need to really understand what we're doing. So we started to work with producers like Carl Beaver Henderson and, you know, Samuel Jack was around, Shell Shock. All of them, they really helped us to craft our sound and, you know, understand the thing a little more better, because we were doing it very instinctively, just from pure vibes.
The thing about it is, I mean, I've heard many artists, and I will ask Lady Gypsy this in her segment when I speak with her. But the thing is, when I think about artists saying what you just said in terms of, you know, I make this song, I come up with this song, I sing it, and I went back to my normal mundane way of life, you know. And I will tell you one artist that comes to mind, which is the man known as Shaggy. Shaggy would have sang a song called Carolina many, many years ago. Mm-hmm. And I think he was in the Marines or on the Naval, U.S. Navy or something like that. And he dropped the tune. He not expecting the tune to grow. I am thinking in my mind, if I'm writing a song, Lady Gypsy, if I'm going to sing this song, why else would I be singing the song? I'm singing the song because I want to put it out there. I want my name go. And then you find humility in artists such as your good self, such as Mr. Wendell and Shaggy saying, you know, I sing this song.
Yeah.
And I didn't expect it. Shaggy went back to the U.S. Come back to the U.S. and realized, but wait now. And
the same thing with my song, Political Cemetery. I never expected that from it, and look where it went.
Hey. Somebody asked me to play that song yesterday.
Oh, yeah, look where it went. It went viral. They TikTok it. They do all sort of thing with it, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, what goes through your minds when you put out music that you are not expecting to blow? I mean, walk me through, Lady Gypsy, the process. You know, you write this song, and you're not expecting it. Then what is the thought process? Go to the BTS behind the scenes. Tell me what happens when you're penning the song, because you say you're not expecting it to blow.
No, well, you see, when I wrote that song, I've been traveling back and forth, and when I'm home, I just been looking at what is happening to the poor people in my country, mm-hmm, you know, and some of the things after COVID and during COVID, it hurt. It hurt me to see, you know, the suffering of the people, and I decided, you know, well, that is enough, and somebody have to stand up and do something. But nobody ain't saying nothing, because long time Calypsonian got used to sing stuff about the ruling party who in power, whatever.
Right.
But now like people scared. Well, people scared, but you know, I am a person, I ain't scared of nobody.
Well,
only God.
I'll get into that point with you just now. So Mr. Wendell, sir, tell me something. I mean, what are some of the challenges? I mean, I am thinking, right? I can't sing. I've never sang anything before in my life. And then I write this song, Blue. We go paint the tongue blue and we come out there and we sing it, right?
Very nice.
Yeah, you know.
Little lambie.
Yeah, and we sung it. But we had no vocal training.
Yeah.
We can't perform on stage, we out of breath. I mean, what were some of the challenges you all faced? Because you said that when the song received the popularity and the reception was so overwhelming from the public, you all packed your bags and you all went on tour. What was that experience like, seeing that you was not in that field of work before?
Hmm. No, we weren't in that field. We were in performance, we were doing musical theater, we were making mass and touring with Mitchell. We had just come back from Atlanta Olympics. So that part of it wasn't new to us.
Right.
But the going on stage and singing a song, like, after you sing one song, you're bun. And one of the things we were trying to work on is, okay, I was in Marshall and saying, how are them fellas sing so long? You watch Ronnie and you say, yeah, well, seen all of a sudden you start watching the mechanics of the thing. Mm-hmm. You start getting inside the game and you start respecting people for their craft, you know. Mm-hmm. And I look at Lady Gypsy, the way she delivers her melodies, her nuancing, all them things you're taking lessons from and you're applying to your thing.
and it's something very interesting, isn't it? Because I mean, you can get winded on stage. I've watched many, many shows. Jermaine Dupri, a U.S. rapper, have this show, the rap game, and you would see people putting out stuff on TikTok and on social media. They would sing, and they're singing, right? But put them to perform on stage. So you have to now sing, dance, put on a show, all in one.
It's a whole energy, and you gotta be in charge of that.
That's why some artists stop and talk. That is just to catch the breath, you know, because it's a hard thing, especially a song like with 160. You notice that?
A BPM of 160.
That's hard.
They're shouting commands at you now on the track playing in the back.
Yeah.
They can't sing the song.
No, like when I did Sloppy Banana, that ain't easy to sing, you know.
Oh, God.
Not easy to sing a song like that.
I mean, to do it live.
But I can remember even preaching all on the stage. And you, hands up. Hands up in the party. Jump on wave.
After the first corner.
Yeah, because, you know, sometimes too, blacks and all had that problem. Because, you know, maybe it have to do with your size. You know, you're not exercising, you know.
Right. But the thing about it is, guys, is that... you know, I think you all were the ones that pioneered that whole energy. Because it's easy for a guy, for an artist to come out now, you know. You remember he's singing over tracks?
So
when he had to catch his breath, now he hush him out.
Yeah.
And the music played.
Yeah.
But Lady Gypsy and Mr. Wendell, you guys sing songs with a band.
Yeah.
It's nobody singing the track.
Thank you.
When you stop singing, we get no lyrics.
Yeah.
We just get music. Yep. So that had to be... Or that'll be the real deal.
Yep.
I see an artist run up on stage last evening at the Kaiserama. Lady, we had to talk about that too, at the Kaiserama. And, I mean, he walked across the stage and he was a little winded, but the DJ playing his music anyway, you know, so it was easy for him, you know. And one of the things I want to ask Mr. Wendell this morning as well is, what led you to get involved in the rapso genre of music as opposed to anything else, you know, calypso, soca? Why rapso?
Well, I mean, from early, I was always in love with Trinidad and Tobago music. Mm-hmm. I grew up with my father had all kind of Sparrow Record and Amber Kyla and John Biddy Williams and all them things.
Right.
And grew up next to Sparrow Hideaway down in Cimero Valley for a little while. I was inside the Hideaway from early, watching Calypso, watching Sparrow Troubadours and all them fellas.
Mm-hmm.
So I always was in love with Calypso. But I also like Andre Tanka.
Then
when Resistance and they came around, I find that beat was real solid and fresh. So I studied Resistance on them. And then later on, came to meet Resistance to help with the rapso movement. I was helping them with their performance coming from theater.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was helping them with their performance, they was helping me with my rhyme scheme and sitting down in rhythm and thing. And Atta Clan is my cousin, so we started vibes at some point. And it just started to blossom. But the main thing was, we was doing a Juve band. We did Juve for 3 years before we started to write, sing a song.
Mm.
I used to write, like, to explain what the band is, but it used to come out in a verse form. And Resistance would go in there and say, "You write this?" I say, "Yeah." He say, "But I rap, so." And then Mandela always used to say, You see that voice, Yadi? So everything just kind of happened in that timing.
Because
we had the opportunity.
Everybody that writing music in Trinidad now, most persons, young people especially, with the Trinidad culture that they have forming now, you know, which, I mean, kudos to them. Not a fan. But, you know, you're coming out to write a song. I want to write a song. One time I want to get the masses. One time I want my song to reach out there. I want to be popular one time. You know, and rap, so
it don't work like that.
That's my point. It doesn't. Yeah. So you wouldn't. I mean, it's very, you know, unorthodox for a person to say, "No, I want to do rap." So, as opposed to, it's easy to say, "Let me sing a calypso," and even easier to jump on a rhythm and sing a soca.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, as I say, we didn't premeditate it. We just went with the flow, and that's where we fit in. Rap so embraced us from early, so we get assigned to a label that was representing rap. So we embrace it and. We just represented since.
But do you think the industry accepts rapso music?
Well, is rapso music always there, you know? It's something else now. You might call it Trinibad now because they're going in a different direction. But that vibration where you're using your Trini parlance, writing a rhythm, talking the truth, talking about the masses, like Lady Gypsy says, she ain't like what going on with people, so she sing a song about that.
Right.
And that's a big part of rapso.
Right.
And we think Talk Your Talk is because of that. Because you look around and you say, what's going on? All these mocking pretenders only talking.
Exactly.
And people suffering.
Yeah.
But one of the things is, when it comes, I mean, you mentioned that, you know, we call it by a different name, but I like to stick with originality in terms of letting the young generation understand the culture and where it came from. Because a lot of persons didn't realize that soca music came from Calypso first, you know. A lot of persons didn't understand Calypso was a form of protest.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day, you know.
Yeah.
That was the only medium in which persons could have got vocal and say what on their mind.
They tried to ban it, and they put laws on the books since 1913, and that's why Calypsonians come up with different forms to say what they have to say.
Exactly. And I mean,
that's part of the evolution of the thing.
So the thing is, do you think that the whole Rapso movement, do you think it is now gaining momentum and getting significant recognition?
I wouldn't say so. No, I wouldn't say so at all.
It's not.
And I would say, you know, resistance was the torchbearer for the Rapso movement for a long time. Now that he's passed, peace be upon him. We are probably the most active Rapso group out there. You have at the clan still repping. You have the Omaris back on the scene now. So, I mean, people are still around, but I still maintain, like last year, they had a Trinidad song. And when I listened to it, the flow was home front. You got to start back moving. Right in that rhythm, that kind of vibe, but in a song last year by a Trinidad artist.
No,
so that's why I say the Rapso still there. You just might call it something else now.
Wow, that is sad for me. Yeah, you know, because I think we should stick with it. You know, but
well,
my
me too.
Yeah, I don't believe that we should, you know, water it down, so to speak, or degrade it. Because Rapso is supposed to be an upbuilding song. It's supposed to be a song of upliftment, one, a song of information.
Yeah.
And
tell people,
right.
The difference is what you choose to sing on. Everybody could ride the flow, everybody could ride that rhythm. But how you choose to use your voice is you're going to use your voice to wheel it in with fire and light, or you're just using it to just spread more darkness.
Interesting that you said that. So I mean, when it comes to the Rapso music, you know, for years and years and years we're trying to get soca international. We're trying to carry soca across the globe. We want soca to reach on the charts out there, like all the R&B hits and these other songs, but we're not reaching. Now persons might say, but you know, Masha Montano have toured Europe and he carried soca there and he sang on a stage there.
Yeah.
But what happens after?
Well, let me say, my take on all that is that back to front, right? They're always trying to get soca on the Billboard chart. Very back to front. We don't even have a soca chart.
True.
Well said.
Billboard chart.
Well said.
We don't
well
document
said.
And value music. Somebody else must come and do it for us.
Well said.
We gotta get over that.
I mean, yeah, because you have hit lists across the globe in various countries.
The thing is, we're trying too hard with music. Have the vibes. Calypso is the mother music. If half them soca men were to just get back in Calypso and really understand the thing, like last night I was watching the Extempo on the freestyle and some of the youths coming out, you could see the difference between the older folks and the younger ones, but they have a fire. They just need the guidance, they need a frame, and the thing could evolve.
I was very disappointed with what I saw last evening.
Well, it's the beginning, so you know what I mean?
No, not with the youths, you know.
Or with the older ones?
With the show in itself, the organizers, what they did with that show, what they did.
You want to get me started on shows? Or?
Listen, no man. I was really flabbergasted. I was taken aback. I'm looking at the stage itself, the aesthetics, the setup, and
yeah,
I'm saying, have we gone back? Did we go back?
The mother of all carnival.
Are we seeing? That's my point. The private entities, the FETs. Did you take a look at the FET experience? The CICs and these other FETs with their stage presentation. We're seeing an NCC.
International looking something.
Listen, man. Yeah. And the mother of all carnivals, where the government is backing NCC, the government. And that is what I saw. Well, I wonder what the Dimash Grab would look like. I am wondering, because when I looked at that, I am saying, are we in a community center?
A little more effort.
A little more effort, boy?
A
little.
Somehow they say, you know, still I am thinking, you know, that even though there's this money allocated for entertainment for the carnival, I don't think the money is reaching to the smaller people, you know.
But there was a report that came out that NCC was getting problems to even allocate the funds that was supposed to be for them.
That is the problem.
So they couldn't get, and I don't understand what is the bureaucratic red tape about.
Yeah.
If this is the mother following the pandemic.
Yeah.
And you're talking about, you see where you're talking about the NCC is one side of the carnival, and then all those other things you described is the next side of the carnival.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at where all the resources going in, you see it going in that uptown side of the carnival.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a little issue with that, because a lot of the ground events, a lot of these things, except for Pan, everything else kind of limping and half dead.
Listen, Amar.
So, we had to be concerned about that. How are we making this better? How are we making it more robust?
Exactly.
More engaging for the people.
Listen, I mean,
we can't take it for granted, because we will soon lose the plot and have them shows. I agree with you, you know. I just don't want to be too critical, but when I tuned in, I was like, it looked very
mundane. Blah.
Yeah, it looked mundane. Yeah.
Very mundane and listen, man. I mean, I was there. I sat there and I was looking at it live, and I'm thinking to myself, what am I watching? What do we have here? You know, I mean, I want to ask you this as well. What initiatives do you believe we need to put in place to boost the creative arts in Trinidad and Tobago, Mr. Wendell?
Well, I'm a teacher, so I believe in teacher. I think all young people should be exposed to some sort of creative expression from very early. The thing is that as Trinidadians, most of us have some kind of innate talent. It just need to come out. And you also find that, I always tell people, when you get involved in the creative arts, it's called a discipline.
Mm-hmm.
It's the discipline of theater, the discipline of dance, the discipline of music. So that brings out discipline in young people. So I am a strong advocate for it being a solid part of our school system, not in a small cosmetic way, right through. And you will see a material difference in the society.
Yeah.
Especially if we're teaching them we thing, not some foreign thing, because that's one of the problems with the school system. We have to teach them we thing.
Now, I mean, as a rapso artist, part of the movement, you mentioned that, you know, as Brother Resistance is no longer with us, I mean, what have you all been doing within recent times to really get this movement back up and running so that it would not be faded memory, you know? Of the rapso movement, what initiatives do you think should be put in place, even by private entity, government? You know,
with the passing of Resistance, and then most recently the passing of Mark Akini Nottingham, who was a solid torchbearer for a while there. Well, it led to a lot of us coming back together. You know, like Omari fell in with us and was part of our show recently. So it led into more discussions about how we could bolster the thing and take it forward. So it's beginning with that, bringing back people together and trying to invite new blood in. It's very important that you identify new talent and help build back up our scene, you know?
I understand. Well, when it comes to, we talk about the international vibe, but we have it wrong side. But I'm focusing on Rapso.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
At this point, Calypso Rose, right? You see how Calypso Rose was out there doing her thing?
Yeah.
She was is rapping Calypso. Maybe they put a little funky beat behind it, but it's Calypso that was penetrating. And she's actually, in terms of success and sales and touring, that is what you have to use. That's the aspect you have to use. And it's not America she was going to. It was Europe and all kind of different places. It's a big world. We kind of fixated on America.
So true. And that's the next question I was going to ask, because I know we run out of time with you here this morning. And we thank you very much for taking the little moments to share with us.
Thank you. And I wish I could have stayed longer and hear about ladies.
Well, you can tap it on your phone and listen, you know, at TBC Radio Network. So the thing about it is, I mean, when it comes to taking Rapso music international, I want to revisit that question very quickly for a minute or so. You know, tell me your thought process and if any at all so far, with your ideas in terms of getting this music out to the international market.
Yes, I mean, we had that foray already. When we were signed to Rituals Music, when we first started, we already had a French agent and we were signed to a French label. And so we have experience doing that. Of course, you know, over the years, the label folded, circumstances changed.
Mm-hmm.
We acquired the Black Box that kind of kept us locked down for a while. But we are very keen to get back on the road and put that mechanism back in place. But it's a big machine. You can't do it alone.
Yeah.
And that's why you need support from agencies here. Like when we went to Spain to do the Womex Festival, the agency at the time, TNT Music, they funded at least the airfare just to get to Europe, you know, that's a couple $1,000. Well,
yeah.
So we did the rest. We paid the way and stayed in the hotel and whatnot, and they did thing, and we were invited to another one, and then they say, well, now we done fund you already.
See?
But these things you have to fund
continuously.
Sometimes, so till you get that momentum and you realize, okay, because it's a market, you have to go out there and sell your goods.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to find a way, if you identify the talent on the ground here, whether it's through corporate, private enterprise, government support, say, we go back this act, because that's how all them other acts emerge from other places. You know, at a certain point, you realize, okay, these fellas look like they have some potential and somebody invest in it.
Yeah. And it's interesting that you say that, eh? But I swear to you, the international market grab it, we coming back to pull it back as well, you know? Yeah, like the thief we dog. You know, well, the comedy yard and take up we puppy.
First, that quarter sell a million was Calypso, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have that track record already. Sparrow was known around the world. Calypso is not a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just had to put the fire behind it.
And get it out
there. So I mean, all trying to make music is all Calypso as far as I can say. Chutney is all that, but have Calypso in it.
So true. And well, Mr. Wendell, I know we are a few minutes away from our newscast here, and my 30 minutes with you is about to expire. I want to tell you thank you very much for joining
me
here.
Thank you for
having me. It's always a pleasure, sir. I look forward to talking to you in the not too distant future again, find out what's happening, because I don't want this to be a 9-day wonder where we talk about it for 9 days and then it falls through the crack. And for the next year, until Carnival 2024, hey, you know, remember rap, so
let me start to talk about it again.
Yes, I think it should be something ongoing.
And next time, I will definitely come down and be there in person.
That would be lovely. Photo opportunities? I'm always ready for a photo op. So thank you very much, Mr. Wendell, for joining us here on the Morning Rumble. Have a great day, sir.
Have a nice day.
And have a safe carnival all the same. Take care, buddy.
Bless.
All right.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.